It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good morning, everybody. For my live friends out there, just a little quick audio check. Let me know if the audio sounds good. First time I'm actually booming the air conditioner. In 2023, it is hot here in New York, the last day. But I want to thank you all for joining me for the Don Tony Show. Listen, right before we go any further, I have to give everybody a little bit of an update about the channel. And this is only going to take a couple of seconds. I got inundated with messages the last 24 hours that Wrestling Observer has decided all of their podcasts going forward are going to be behind a paywall. And, hey, you know, you work hard. You deserve, you know, to be compensated for it. I've been trying to work around the situation here because, you know, the amount of work that you put in, if it's not paying the bills or if it's not doing well, you know, you're just beating a dead horse. Now, luckily, you know, the channel is doing quite well. Our audio side of things is booming and that's not going to change. What I have decided to do is, first of all, my channel members are still going to get ad-free episodes, VIP as far as Q&As, contests, and other things. But for non-channel members here, you're going to get all the shows. And it's not going to be behind a paywall. But you might see some extra commercials here and there. I mean, it has to be done. Otherwise, everything is going to have to be subscription-based going forward. So, you know, I just want to let everybody know that nothing is going to change here. You might see a few extra commercials. If you spread the word, if you subscribe, if you, you know, hit that like, you know, what everybody else always says, you know, it's not for bragging rights anymore because nobody can see the amount of likes that somebody gets or dislikes, I should say, you know, but we're not going to waste time doing video and doing shows if people just aren't interested as much as the audio side. So, all right. I want to thank you all for joining me. SmackDown last night, Roman Reigns 1,000-day celebration. And I'm sorry for using the term bragging rights, but, you know, I watched the reaction online and people loved it. People loved it. Solo Sikoa, I think he tweeted late last night, loyalty to the end. And that's what it's all about for Solo Sikoa, loyalty to the end. Yeah, a lot of us think one day that Roman Reigns may be disloyal to Solo Sikoa, and not just an inadvertent move. Remember, the Usos accidentally super kicked Solo Sikoa at Night of Champions. Wasn't intentional. That's not why Solo Sikoa did what he did yesterday. But Roman Reigns drew the line in the sand. And, you know, at the end of the day, it kind of felt a little bit of like the scene from New Jack City. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. And he still got whacked. But, you know, a little bragging rights, you know, because even though a lot of people loved it yesterday, you know, I was kind of looking at the disingenuous people out there. They're like, I had no idea they were going in this direction. What is going on? What is going on? And I got a couple of your emails. Much love. May 14th, sit-down episode. What's the first two things that we talked about? Roman Reigns getting a singular championship, and not just a singular championship that'll represent the undisputed WWE Universal Champion, because that lineage is the 1,000 days. And that's the lineage that they want to keep going. And you saw that little timeline that they did yesterday, comparing Roman Reigns to a bunch of other championship runs. And I'll get into that in a moment. I found that list interesting, and not because CM Punk was featured on it. But look at the third thing that we talked about that night. Seeds continue to be planted for the eventual match between Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos. You know, this was coming. It shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone. You know, I think even now, people are like, where does Jay stand with this? No, it's the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. They're not going to divert. You know, it's funny. It almost sounds a little bit like going into WrestleMania, where people were convinced that, no, Sami Zayn's going to be thrown into a three-way, and they're not going to do the tag titles, and they're not. No, they know exactly the path that they're taking, and they're not deviating from it. Do you know the only way that they will deviate from that path? Injury. Injury or wellness suspension or some mental health issue, something that would put a monkey wrench in everything that is going on. Cody's story is going to be finished by beating Roman Reigns. It's not going to be finished by beating Seth Rollins. That story continues, and it is not going to be diverted. No matter what people want to convince themselves or feel, even if it doesn't feel that it has momentum, they are on a path. They are going to continue that path. We just got to see how it plays out on TV. One thing that we could all agree on, it has been played out on TV beautifully. Give credit to every single person. You know, we have had storylines in the past that are still talked about to this day. You know, you could go back to not necessarily the 70s all that much, because most of us weren't watching at that time. I started at 79, so I was at the tail end, you know, going into the 80s. But you look at the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, 2000, there are storylines that we still talk about to this day. One thing that always seems to happen with a lot of those storylines, not every participant is all that good, or there are more big standouts, and you got a couple of supporting roles. You look over here, every single person has had their chance to stand out and be the focal point. And not only that, delivering. You know, being in the center of attention is one thing. Delivering when you are the center of attention, that's another. You look at Jimmy Uso. I mean, you think back, Jey Uso, when they did the cage match, you know, with War Games. And everybody, Jey Uso, when he's, you know, hugging Sammy the way he was and everything, and everybody's like, wow, Jey Uso, he's the unsung hero in this. And then you look at Solo Sikoa. Now people are raving about Solo Sikoa's work in this. Jimmy Uso, Paul Heyman in his special way. And we didn't even mention Roman Reigns as of yet. So how it's played out on TV is really, you know, what's most important. And they are really killing it right now. They are killing it. Now the question is, do they do it for Money in the Bank, or do they do it for SummerSlam? That is the question. Now, Cody Rhodes was at SmackDown yesterday. He wrestled in a dark match. And again, this goes back to what I have said before. I know the roster split. Hey, you know, people were confused why Shotzi Blackheart was on SmackDown yesterday. We brought it up a couple of weeks ago when Liv got injured and Raquel chose Shotzi as her tag team partner. And then they lost the tag team title match. And then Shotzi shows up the week before. You know, Shotzi still appeared a couple of times on Raw. You know, but my point is, like AJ Styles on Raw Monday. I mean, we know that everything is run under one company. We know that they're split rosters. You mean to tell me that when CM Punk pops up on a Dynamite, people are going to complain? Oh, I know what people are going to do. No, Don Tony, they never did a draft on TV. So technically, anybody could go anywhere they want. Just enjoy the fact that we got AJ Styles and Seth Rollins teaming up for probably one time, and it ain't going to happen again for a long time. Maybe on a house show. You know, if you're getting good shit on TV, I mean, there's nothing wrong. You know, look, you're on a diet, you see a little cookie, there's nothing wrong with taking something you're not supposed to. You know, I mean, I shouldn't say it like that because we see what's going on in Walmarts and Targets and everything else. That's not what I mean. But, you know, it doesn't have to be so cut and dry. If they fuck it up, then you could complain. Now, look at these Money in the Bank qualifying matches that they announced for next week. Do you remember the uproar about Dominic Mysterio? Dominic Mysterio, he's going to be in a qualifying match. The fuck? He's not, nobody that should be in a ladder match should, they have to be championship material. If you cannot be world champion, or you are not in a position that you should be world champion, you should not be Money in the Bank. Okay, explain to me Butch, with all due respect. Explain to me Baron Corbin, with all due respect. Explain to me Meechan, with all due respect. Mustafa Ali. Oh, yeah. Demoted to NXT. No, we talked about that the week of the draft. They were going to have some people as free agents so they could be used where needed on different brands. They just haven't really started to use Von Wagner as of yet. So those are your matches for next week. Now, a little bit of a rumor killer as far as Money in the Bank goes. You know, somebody was reporting not too long ago that there was only going to be 4 or 5 participants in Money in the Bank. If you already do the math, you already could figure out, you know, that it should be 6, maybe even 7. I personally think that what they may end up doing, and if you look at the weeks, if you count down the weeks leading into Money in the Bank, you almost could see it coming, that maybe that final week, everybody who lost gets a second chance opportunity to get the final spot in Money in the Bank. And I absolutely could see that. You know, the only thing that kind of, you know, gives it away next week is we all think that Io Sky and Bayley are qualifying. You know, that was the reason why you're not going to have the split as of yet, because it's every woman for themselves. So if they're both in the ladder match, Io Sky could get screwed by Bayley in that match or vice versa. So we kind of have a feeling where this is going on the women's side. On the men's side, you know, I would love to see Butch in a Money in the Bank qualifier. I know he has no shot of becoming world champion, but if it's going to make the match better, why not? I don't have an issue with that. By the way, I'm sure a lot of you are not aware of this as of yet. If you go to his Instagram, you could actually see some pretty graphic video. It was pretty graphic. I was watching it, and I was pretty amazed. The end part blows me away as far as how they put the plate in the neck. The plate, I mean, they literally, it looks like you're screwing a plate into a wall. And if you're not aware of what I'm talking about, Braun Strowman is out of action until minimum 2024. He had neck fusion surgery this past week, and he wrote, for my audio-only friends, "Road to recovery starts now. Level 1 fusion on my C4 and C5 vertebrae was in the great hands of Dr. Cordova at Andrews Sports Medicine. Thank you to WWE for always stepping up, taking the most care of us. This was very scary to find out about having to have this done, and they were every step of the way reassuring that I was going to have the best care possible. This will take a little bit of time to heal from, but I assure you, I'll be back. Thank you for all the well wishes." Now, you look at him there, and you're like, oh, there's 2 little Band-Aids on his chest. That's nothing. Nah, man. If you go to his Instagram, there's like a 4-minute video, and you see it, and it's crazy. The plate, like, I have a plate on my hip. I have a plate and screws. A lot of you have seen those X-rays before. I looked on a video to see what the plate looks like, you know, outside of an X-ray. But it's fascinating what they could do. But neck fusion surgery is nothing to joke about, man. So Braun Strowman, you know, he's out till 2024. And even then, you got to be a little bit careful. So I have said it before, putting all bias aside, to me, Braun Strowman, number one person that has had the most success with the rehirings that Triple H made last year. And well, if he does any for this year. So far, number one, Braun Strowman fit like a glove. And I think yesterday was the 2-year anniversary that Braun Strowman was released originally. And if you remember when he was released, wasn't it that Vince McMahon thought that Braun was way beyond his peak? And I mean, yeah, we were in the COVID era, but you see when he returned, I mean, yes, he was in a lot, you know, better condition physically. I mean, he trimmed down and tightened shit up, and you know, that helps. Believe me, that helps a lot. I think he has had the most success since with all the hirings. Now, someone else that Triple H re-signed a while back, I might as well just share with you now randomly, and then we'll talk about the title. We'll talk about the Usos, where this goes from here. And a lot of you want my thoughts about the new belt, the singular championship that we all knew was going to be coming. I'll tell you right now, I like it. I like the design. I like what they did. Please hear me out in a moment. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. The Karrion Kross video, we could wait a few extra minutes. It's not going to be a make or break for anybody out there. All right, yesterday, we had the 1,000-day celebration for Roman Reigns on SmackDown. And also to commemorate that, if anybody is interested, WWE has for sale T-shirts, jackets. I think there's a hat that's about to be launched. They are celebrating Roman Reigns' 1,000 days as champion. And I like the design. I like the graphic. It is very well done, and I think this is going to be a top, top merchandise seller. This does not look cheap. I mean, it was very, very well done. And yesterday, to celebrate, they did a video package narrated by Paul Heyman at the very beginning of SmackDown. And they were running through other lineages over the years. Now, the screenshot that caught everybody's attention was, oh my God, they acknowledged CM Punk. To me, I was focusing more on Terry Funk. Not because he's my favorite wrestler of all time, but I was like, wait a minute. When did Terry Funk have a 424-day reign in WWE? And then I rewound it, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. They're including championships from other companies. My question is, without naming any specific promotions, why did they limit it to just like NWA? I think AWA might have been mentioned. You know what? I got to go back and watch it, but they definitely left out some companies. I mean, even ECW had some reigns that went to quite a bit. I think, didn't Rob Van Dam's reign go a very long time, and he had to forfeit because of injury? But, yeah. So they showed that yesterday, and they went up to the 1,000 reigns, and I liked it. Now, Triple H came out, and we saw the table, and we saw the covering, so we knew a new championship was being given to Roman Reigns. Going forward, Roman Reigns will have this singular championship to represent himself as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Okay. Undisputed, we've had some fun talking about that term here in the past. Undisputed doesn't have to do with Seth Rollins' championship. If you actually look up the definition of undisputed, it's almost, if you want to be corny about it, and I don't mean cornette, if you want to be a little corny about it, you can say, well, there's no dispute. He is the WWE Universal Champion. Right? I think the question everybody needs to think about now is, are they going to retire the red belt and the blue belt? And we can't call him anything else but that, because the blue belt was the Universal Championship. This title is the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Could they be retiring both of those belts, or could they be doing something different? I personally do not believe they are going to do what I'm about to say. But it is something that people are already starting to ask. You know, just like way back people were saying, oh, what lineage is Roman going to continue? And it was pretty obvious they're going to continue the 1,000-day reign, because that's the one for the shirts. They're not going to have the, you know, 364-day reign. They were going to go with the 1,000 and counting. So that we pretty much knew for a while now. But could this new championship be similar to boxing, where you are, you know, this league's champion, this league's champion? You have 2-3 belts. I don't know. I mean, look, I haven't followed boxing all that much since Tyson and Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, so I really don't follow it much anymore. Even a little bit of what's-his-face that went up against Big Show. The midget. I can't remember his name right now. But brain cramp, and it's early, and I haven't even enjoyed my bulletproof coffee yet. Floyd Mayweather. Just hit me. But you have a title that represents everything. Could they have Roman walking around with 3 belts now? He's got the WWE Championship, the Universal Championship, and the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. They could do that. I personally hope they don't. I personally hope that they just have Roman Reigns coming out with one title going forward. Because if they continue the 3-belt route, he's not going to have those belts that long. I mean, even if it went to WrestleMania 40, I mean, that's still, you know, 9 months. And what happens when Cody Rhodes does defeat Roman Reigns? Cody is now going to have 3 belts also? And then he has to lose the WWE Championship. You know why else they won't do that? You know why else they won't do that? Because the WWE Championship was always considered the belt on Raw. When Raw used to be the flagship show, the WWE Championship was Raw. And then later on, the Universal Championship was really the belt on Raw. And then you would have the WWE Championship on SmackDown, and then they started flipping it around. My point is that Seth Rollins is the World Heavyweight Champion. Even though they're doing a, you know, different lineage going from 2020 to the present, trying to do it by decades now, you know, which they're going to have to clear that up a little bit further on their website soon. But if you keep those 3 belts around and the new belt represents that you have both titles, what happens when someone else dethrones Roman? Does that mean that if you lose one of the other 2 titles, you no longer wear that one? Oh, that's too confusing, man. Just going further, have one championship. Have one championship. So yesterday, Triple H brought out a table. And if anybody thought the table looked familiar, and kind of if you look at the belt looks familiar too. Yeah, that they brought that belt out for The Rock way back when. And, you know, look at that table. That is the same table that they used yesterday. So yesterday, Triple H reveals a new championship for Roman Reigns. Now, I have a problem with what Triple H did, and I don't have a problem with what Triple H did. First of all, let me just show you the belt. Okay, that is the new WWE, undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Okay, that is the belt that Roman Reigns now has. Roman Reigns wearing it proud yesterday, having it up in the air, celebrating. You know, I like it. I like the belt. And the reason why I like the belt is because that design is not, should not be retired. If you look, that championship belt is the belt that, as of right now, the women's championships reflect. I will agree. If you remember way back when they announced the singular championships for the women's division, and when it went from Divas Championship to Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships, you know, it was like, wow, they're recycling it. This one's blue and this one's red and this one's this. SmackDown is this color and Raw is this color for the men, the women. It's like, wow, you can't come up with like a different design. They have to continue that design. Even when they give belts to sports teams that win championships, when they give belts to people, you know, in the entertainment world, when you're going to continue that championship look. That look is a little bit old school to me. Again, if you look at The Rock, look at the belt that they presented to The Rock back then. And listen, I remember that clearly. I remember that clearly. The Rock's belt, nobody said, oh, that's ugly. Actually, the colors look very nice. Now, on TV, you know, you really don't see the true beauty of it. Seth Rollins' championship, when it was first revealed on TV, you know, it felt a little bit plain until you saw the high-definition photos. You're like, holy shit, this is a beautiful belt. And now WWE's revealed all of the little Easter eggs about that belt, paying tribute to Bruno and others. But I like that championship. And I got to be honest with you, I kind of like it more now compared to, I like Seth Rollins' belt now more compared to Roman's belt. You know what it kind of reminds me? This kind of reminds me of what Ric Flair used to walk around with the WCW Heavyweight Championship. I know they don't look anywhere near the same, but it's a little bit oversized. It's a little bit more flashy. If you look at some high-definition photos, it's really, really outstanding. And Roman Reigns' championship, you know, this is more of the tradition. Why do these photos look all weird? Oh, I know why. You know, it looks more of your, you know, standard WWE championship. So this is what they did yesterday. And that is where they're going forward with it. And I hope that they continue with just one championship. You could have Paul Heyman walking around holding both red and blue belts on his shoulders, and that looks fine and everything. But it's fucking confusing, man. It's confusing. Just have one championship. And, you know, if people out there are sick of that design, you know, wait until the high-definition photos come out and look at it a little bit closer. It actually is a nice-looking belt. You know, I don't want to use the term it looks masculine, but it's got a good look to it. It's not too flashy. It's not too glitzy. You know, it looks nice around somebody's waist. And Seth Rollins, it's a little bit more pomp and circumstance. So, but let me tell you what I didn't like yesterday. I don't know if any of you felt the same way I did, but when Triple H came out and cut the promo to bring out Roman Reigns and then award him this new championship belt design, Triple H was really, really selling Roman Reigns like $1 million. You know, once in a generation, this and that, and just reading, saying everything beautiful about Roman Reigns. And I'm thinking to myself, wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago that Triple H is on Raw, Roman negotiated that he doesn't have to appear all the time, and really making it seem like, wow, Roman is turning into Brock Lesnar 2.0. Anybody get that vibe yesterday? I was like, wait, Triple H was kind of like, you know, devaluing Roman Reigns when he mentioned the World Heavyweight Championship reveal and tournament. And now he's on SmackDown yesterday and it's complete opposite. That's how I felt about it. I was like, Triple H, you just fucking, like, put this guy down a couple of weeks ago on Raw. And now it's like, oh, it never happened. That's how I felt about it yesterday. But Roman Reigns, anybody think early on that Roman Reigns was going to throw that belt down? Anybody think earlier on that Roman Reigns was going to do something to that belt? Because when he handed the championship to Roman Reigns, if you look at it originally, Roman Reigns looked like he was laughing at the title. He had this look on his face like, what the hell's this? I mean, that's the vibe that I got. Then, you know, he started walking around and flashing it to everyone and, you know, showing it off and everything. But, yeah, it just, I don't know. Yesterday, see, I like, you know, they hired someone to be a little bit more continuous with shit. If I'm in that position, I would have said, hey, boss, you know, all due respect, a couple of weeks ago, you know, you made Roman Reigns look like a piece of shit on Raw, that he's lazy and he doesn't want to defend and he negotiated himself in this position and he didn't have to do this. So now we're going to have a real world champion. If I'm Roman Reigns, I'd be like, what'd you say about me a couple of weeks ago? You think I forgot? What do you think, I'm stupid? You think I'm a clown? You know, like, that's what I would have. I mean, but they can't do that, obviously. But Roman, when he picked up that championship originally, it looked like he was laughing at it. Like, the fuck is this? But I like the design. I'm not too thrilled of how Triple H presented it. But I do like the fact we're going forward with one singular belt. You know, now what they need to do is address Asuka and Rhea Ripley with their belts. And, you know, yesterday on the Grayson Waller effect, you know, look, I understand it was Night of Champions. So Grayson Waller being announced, you know, to be part of SmackDown, draft was a month ago. So now he's part of SmackDown for a month, and they have done two Grayson Waller effects, and neither one of them were very good. Yesterday was just an absolute mess. It's the, you know, that's why I laugh when people always portray Triple H as this outsider, and he's going to be totally different from Vince. And now every time Triple H does something that is not good and it looks like something that's been done way too much before in WWE, and we've talked about it, from the baby faces are always stupid, they never see the tag, the wrong person's in the ring. But yesterday, you had every woman coming out there that wants the belt. It started with Asuka. And Asuka, you know, sitting with Grayson Waller, and, you know, she's coming out there wearing jeans and, you know, just talking a little bit of Japanese. Nobody ready for Asuka. And here comes Io Sky. And we were like, hey, that's fine with us. Because you and I, if you remember when we did predictions for Night of Champions, I said, you know what? I would love to see Asuka win that belt from Bianca and have her first feud be Io Sky. And by the way, little cheap plug, you still can check it out. Get that Roman picture out of there. Get that finger out of your ear. You don't know where that finger's been. Kevin and I did a banger of a show Tuesday. Not only did we review Night of Champions, not only did we review NXT Battleground, we actually had some pretty good conversation about a little bit of AEW, NXT, the Tiffy Time disaster that happened on NXT, Ali and Corbin in NXT. We actually talked about a lot of great shit. So go to DonTony.com if you want to check that out. I'm actually going to talk to Kev for our Patreon family. I'm going to talk to Kev about doing a Patreon live Q&A, maybe in, not this Tuesday, but maybe the following Tuesday. Maybe this Tuesday. I'll ask him. I'll see what he says. And we'll be doing another show again in the near future. In fact, what I'm thinking of doing going forward is for the YouTube channel, is for channel members, like Wednesday Night Dynamite. Wednesday Night Dynamite's coming back for everybody. In fact, today or tomorrow, I'm going to upload the five episodes that are not on the channel right now. But going forward, channel members will continue getting it. It'll be ad-free there. I can't simply just put a setting and members get no ads and everyone else does. I actually have to upload it twice. So everybody will see the back episodes. I'm going to start uploading vintage DTKC show episodes as well, even if it gets a small, you know, amount of viewers. You know, it's better than nothing. So it's just a lot of work, you know, just, you know, re-upping and editing and boosting. So I got to find the time for it. But go check that episode out. Download it. It was excellent. Excellent. But and I want to thank him for joining me again. Oh, and by the way, today's his birthday. Go wish Kev Castle happy birthday. You could even tell him, say, hey, Don Tony said it's your birthday today. Don Tony. How do you like what they're doing with that Tony D stuff? Free Tony D. Stupid. Absolutely stupid. So anyway, getting back to SmackDown, Roman Reigns and the championships. So Triple H gives Roman that championship. He is, you know, looks a little bit disingenuous early on, but now he's showing it off. He says, Pennsylvania! And no, no, no. And he stops. He's like, nah, that's not good enough anymore. WWE Universe, acknowledge me. They were at the Mohegan Sun Arena in, I think, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I've never been to the Mohegan in Pennsylvania, but before anything, now in the ring, it's Paul Heyman, Triple H, Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns. Triple H eventually gets out of Dodge. He just disappears. And here comes the Usos music. And earlier, their flight was canceled. I would have liked to have Paul Heyman say, yeah, we put X-Lax in the seafood. I would have just said, they ain't coming down to the ring. I put X-Lax in the seafood just for the fuck of it. But no, Paul Heyman tells Adam Pearce earlier, no, their flight was canceled. The Usos are not allowed in the building. We have extra security, this and that. Not only do they show up, their music plays as well. They're standing on the rampway. What happened with Adam Pearce and the 30 security guards? You know, security, take them away. WWE is getting very, very sloppy with shit. There's little pet peeves that are starting to annoy me, like yesterday. I wanted the Usos there. But, you know, to have this with Adam Pearce and Paul Heyman, oh, we got extra security, this and this, and they're just standing there. And the music is playing. And they're walking down the rampway like nothing. And we talked about it even last week, joking around. You look at, you know, Becky Lynch gets her ass handed to her. Cody Rhodes gets demolished. And there's nobody in the locker room, like, goes to, like, check on him. You okay? Are you all right? Somebody get help? You know, I mean, AEW, give them credit, makes it even a little bit better. You know, Ricky Starks gets attacked, and here comes FTR. Happened to be walking back from their mat, you know, from the ring. Oh, shit. What the fuck's going on here? But so the Usos come out, and Jimmy Uso gets on the mic, and Jimmy Uso's talking about Bloodline, talking about us, and, you know, Roman basically saying, Roman, you know, he fucked up. You know, Roman is drunk on power, and, you know, Jimmy Uso says, you know, let's continue what we're doing, the Bloodline. We're blood. You know, we're stronger together. And the crowd, you know, it was interesting because the crowd didn't, like, boo it, but they were kind of silent about it. And Jimmy's basically telling Roman Reigns, look, you know, we did what we did because, you know, we're bloodline. You know, we sometimes brothers don't get along and this and that, but we're bloodline. We got to keep together. We got to be stronger. And then Roman Reigns reading the riot act a little bit, and Solo Sikoa finally gets a little bit more mic time outside of the Goodfellas movie spoof. I acknowledge you, Tribal Chief. Something like that. So anyway, Solo Sikoa, you know, acknowledges Roman Reigns, but he says, these are my brothers. These are my brothers. And it looks like Solo Sikoa is aligning with the Usos. And Roman Reigns, almost, remember Man on a Deserted Island? He's going to get so drunk on power, he's going to have nobody in his corner to help him. You know, his championship reign, we've talked about it. Kevin and I talked about it on Tuesday. You know, he's had many more reigns than people perceive it to be, especially over the last year. You know, I think we counted like 20, maybe even more. I mean, he's had a decent number of matches over the last year. In fact, check this out. I wanted to share this with you just to give you an idea because we touched on it on Monday. This is Roman Reigns' schedule up until the first week in August. Yesterday, he was on SmackDown. He will be on SmackDown in 2 weeks. He will be at the Super Show on Saturday, the 17th of June. He'll be on the SmackDown the 30th. So for the month of June, it'll be every other week. Then he'll be at Money in the Bank in London. He'll be in New York City. I guess they're going to be in Madison Square Garden on July 7th for SmackDown. Then he'll be in Orlando on the 21st of July. The Super Show in Mexico City on the 22nd of July. Then he'll be back 2 weeks in a row for SmackDown in New Orleans on July 28th, and then the week after, SummerSlam, August 5th. So his schedule is pretty good. Now, just to compare it to two others, and you got to feel a little bit for Seth Rollins, and I'll tell you why. Here is Cody Rhodes' schedule, and this is just for the month of, oh, wait, did I just give you June? Oh, yeah, we're in June. Yeah, I almost thought we were a month behind. This is for the month of June. Now, Seth Rollins posted his schedule, but he got no graphic. They posted the graphic for Roman. They posted the graphic for Cody. No graphic for Seth Rollins. So if you compare Cody's schedule with Seth Rollins, all right, I'll read you Cody's first. Cody was yesterday at SmackDown for a dark match. He's at the Super Show today, the 3rd, in White Plains, New York. He'll be at the Super Show Sunday in Manchester, New Hampshire. He'll be on Raw the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, 4 weeks in a row. Then they'll be in the UK for the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th of June. So this is even before Money in the Bank. So that is his schedule. Now, Seth Rollins posted, you know, everybody that says, oh, WWE's concerned, they may not give him the championship because of movie roles and he's not going to be there as much. Seth Rollins announced that he is going to be June 3rd in White Plains, June 4th in Manchester, Hartford, Connecticut on Raw for the 5th. He'll also be in Des Moines on the 9th, Wichita on the 12th Raw, Cincinnati on the 17th, Charleston on the 18th, Cleveland, Ohio, Raw on the 19th, Savannah, Georgia, the 26th, and then he'll be in the UK the 28th, the 29th, and the 30th. So what does that tell you? That tells you that, you know, they're putting Cody on some super shows that feature the SmackDown roster. And Seth has two shows that are not going to be the same as Cody, but their schedules are pretty stacked. You know, it's just that Roman doesn't defend the championship, you know, like every week or every 2 weeks or even 3 weeks. But, you know, he's a little bit more active than is being perceived. So the Usos are out there in the ring. And, you know, they're basically, Jimmy's reading the riot act to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is reciprocating. Solo Sikoa acknowledges Roman, but these are his brothers, and he stands beside both of his brothers. And then Jimmy wants Roman. He wants everybody to be together. And, again, I know I wasn't the only one yesterday. Reminded you of the scene of New Jack City when Nino Brown was hugging, what was his brother? And you got Jimmy Uso, he hugs Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is acting like he's crying, but it's crocodile tears. There's nothing coming out of his eyes. Roman Reigns, if he's going to become an actor, he's probably going to have to learn how to maybe shed a couple of tears, but or have that evil look, you know, that we're not supposed to see on camera, but he's hugging Jimmy Uso. Seems sincere, even though no tears are shedding. And then when they stop, I don't know if you caught it, Roman Reigns took a glance over at Solo Sikoa. And that was the sign for Jimmy Uso, like, you about to get spiked, motherfucker. So Roman Reigns just quickly glances over at Solo Sikoa. Then he looks back, and there you go. Boom! Done. Can't show more. Don't want any copyright issues. So, Solo Sikoa remains loyal to Roman Reigns. Spikes his brother, Jimmy Uso. Jey Uso, you know, tends to his brother. Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns leaves. Paul Heyman looking confused as fuck. Paul Heyman's facials in all of these segments are priceless. If you focus simply on Paul Heyman, it's fucking hilarious. But they walk off. Now, next week, Roman Reigns will not be at SmackDown, so the Usos will. And the Usos will probably issue a challenge. And in the following week, that challenge may be accepted. And then we got to see if it's going to happen at Money in the Bank or if it's going to happen at SummerSlam. Now, I already imagine what people are going to say. Roman's not going to defend the championship again on another premium live event. You know, yeah, he didn't defend the championship at Night of Champions, but he fought for a title. I don't know what they're going to do. Me personally, I think that match at Money in the Bank would be better. I don't know about milking that all the way into SummerSlam. Plus, you know, let's put it this way. If they hold off on that tag team match until SummerSlam, then I think there is a very good possibility that Roman could hold that title till WrestleMania 40. As nuts as we all thought that was right after WrestleMania 39. Like, you know, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, like, these are the big events that are coming with the biggest crowds. And SummerSlam, you got to do something big at SummerSlam. Think about how many people are going to be attending. If they feel that the Usos versus Solo and Roman would be good for SummerSlam, I seriously doubt you would see Roman Reigns losing that championship at Survivor Series, at Elimination Chamber. It's like, nah, it's not a big enough spectacle. It has to be one of the biggest of all. So if it doesn't happen at SummerSlam, I don't think it happens until WrestleMania. And we'll see. We have to see what happens next week on SmackDown if the Usos issue that challenge. If the Usos issue that challenge, it's got to happen at Money in the Bank. Because what are you going to do with these guys for the next 5-6 weeks? You know, and please, I don't want to see, with all due respect, I don't want to see Jimmy Uso versus Solo and Roman Reigns versus Jey or vice versa. I don't want to see two singular matches. You know, I know the match that we had a couple of years ago during COVID, you know, in the cage that everybody was raving about because there was so much audio that you heard. You know, it told the story. You would have never been able to do something like that if we weren't in the COVID era, unless you did an empty arena match. So we'll see what happens next week. Now, some of the other matches that went down yesterday. Austin Theory and Pretty Deadly defeating the Brawling Brutes. Austin Theory, I tell you, you know my feelings about Austin Theory. I am a huge fan. And, you know, I take pride of what I've been saying since he dropped that briefcase. Definitely going to be a major, major player in WWE for years to come. Yesterday's promo sucked. I thought parts of it were funny. You know, I'll be a champion for 1,000 days, 2,000 days, 3,000 days. If they keep giving me people like Sheamus, I'll be a champion forever. Like, I thought it was funny, but then when it led to Pretty Deadly, it just, I don't know, it just didn't, something was off. It felt too scripted. It sounded like Austin Theory was given specific bullet points other than the multi-thousand day rains that he was talking about, it felt like he was reading, and I didn't like it at all. A lot of you want my thoughts on Pretty Deadly's new music. I love it. I fucking love it. Because Pretty Deadly, we have been talking about, I mean, look, I've been watching NXT. I've been religiously watching NXT. And I have sung the praise for Pretty Deadly for a long time. And Pretty Deadly, you know, it's almost like Fandango meets the Hardys, meets, you know, others. But they have this, remember when I said it kind of reminds me of like Wham!, like that 80s, 70s look about them, you know, just the way that they dress in the hair. They gave them an entrance song yesterday, and I immediately thought of ABBA. I know a lot of you out there, you know, maybe you weren't alive when ABBA used to perform. In fact, I think one of their band members recently passed away. But there's no escaping ABBA if you're in a supermarket. Sometimes if you're in a dentist office, the doctor's office, a car wash, you know, they have those 70s and 80s, you know, retro channels on. It sounds like an ABBA theme. And to me, it fits them perfectly. It's supposed to be annoying. People are like, oh, that theme is so goddamn annoying. Yeah, it's supposed to be annoying. So, you know, the match was good. And it went long. And, you know, Butch doing the moonsault off the middle rope to the outside. You know, these guys, you know, entertaining, all six of them. But that promo to Austin Theory cut yesterday, I thought it was kind of crappy, man. I didn't like it at all. The OC over Hit Row, I don't know what you're going to do going forward with Hit Row. I mean, these guys were trying to set this up on social media like they wanted to kill each other. I mean, if you follow their social medias, you know what you have dealt with over the last 24 to 36 hours. You know, between Meechin and B-Fab and, you know, and honestly, it's not equating on TV. It really isn't. I mean, if you're going to have somebody for filler, there are many other options you can go with. The only thing that I did like, was on social media. I mean, they wouldn't do this on TV, but on social media, Meechin and B-Fab were exchanging, you know, like a lot of jabs at each other. They were throwing jabs at each other. And Meechin threw the line that we all have kind of said for a while now. Meechin basically says to B-Fab that Hit Row is nothing without Swerve Strickland in it. And it is kind of true, man. It is kind of true. I'm very curious. I got to start looking into when Swerve Strickland's contract expires in AEW. Not heard anything about an extension. I'm not saying that it's going to come up anytime soon, but I would think that he's got to be in that company, what, well over a year? Am I wrong? I mean, because, you know, I'm thinking about when Braun Strowman got released and a few others, Ruby Riott, it was the same time. You know, it had to have been well over a year. So I wonder how many years that Swerve Strickland signed with AEW. You know, 2, 3? Can't see more than that. But they had some funny social media. But when the social media posts more entertaining than what you see on TV, there's a problem, in my opinion. Yesterday's Grayson Waller effect. I like Grayson Waller. I said so long that he was going to go to the main roster before Braun, before Carmelo Hayes, before a bunch of others. You could just see he is, you know, a main roster player, his character and everything. His first month on the main roster has not been very good. He had that Grayson Waller effect with AJ Styles, and it was weird because Grayson Waller almost sounded like he was acting babyface a little bit. Then he, you know, turned against AJ Styles, but it fucking fell flat. Why isn't AJ Styles having another match with Grayson Waller on SmackDown? Right after what happened in Night of Champions, why didn't Grayson Waller make fun of AJ Styles for losing a Night of Champions and just lead to the fucking match? Instead, we have yesterday Grayson Waller interviewing Asuka. Asuka talking Japanese, and an Io Sky comes out, and somebody actually posted in English online what they said. I'm not sure if it's 100% accurate, though, because I think the word shit was used a few times. But, you know, Oscar calling Io Sky a child, and Io Sky is, she's going to win Money in the Bank, take your title. And they're yelling at each other, and then here comes everybody else. Lacey Evans, Shotzi, Zelina Vega, and whoever else came out there. It was just a fucking mess. And every person getting to say a few lines, and then next person's music hits, they get to say a few lines. Bailey came out there. She got to say a few lines. Who else came out there? Io Sky was out there. Bailey, Shotzi. I'm looking at it. Lacey Evans, yes. And Lacey Evans, man, I know that they were trying to do a little bit of Sergeant Slaughter with her. I don't like the hat. I don't like the hat. Honestly, to me, you know, and listen, I love our military, but to me, it gave me the same vibes of this hat. Seriously. I mean, I don't know who wore it worse, Tony Khan or Lacey Evans. The fuck you wear that hat? I could see if it was Thanksgiving or if they were in Amish country. I don't know what the fuck it was with that hat. And by the way, a lot of you were asking my thoughts on this. I will definitely answer it in a couple of moments. I will give you my thoughts on this. We didn't forget. I will also give you my thoughts on this. You know, no, buddy, Matthews is not a cuck. We'll talk about that. But anyway, Lacey Evans comes out and she's wearing like the Sergeant Slaughter hat, and she's trying to like talk like more like Sergeant Slaughter circa 1982. Fell flat, man. And it fell even more flat. Zelina Vega beat Lacey Evans yesterday to qualify for Money in the Bank. The other match that happened that we were all very happy. WWE learned their lesson in 1 week. A week ago, they piped in a boatload of booze for LA Knight. Pissed off a lot of people online. It's embarrassing when you're exposed for something like that. And, you know, people have yet to catch on what I said about entrance music and crowd reaction. We brought that up last Monday. I checked. Still nobody has talked about that. Soon enough, they will. And then, I found something. Yesterday, LA Knight took on Montez Ford for a spot in the Money in a Bank ladder match. LA Knight won. What I loved about it was when LA Knight started coming down to the ring, there wasn't much of a crowd reaction. If you look closely, there wasn't that much of a crowd reaction. And I was thinking to myself, you know, do you remember about 3 weeks ago, on one of the episodes, I think it was the sit-down, I said better nights ahead, and I wrote nights. I spelled nights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S, better nights ahead. The end of LA Knight being treated like shit was pretty much here. That better nights ahead, believe me, they're going to now start pushing LA Knight, and they are. I think last week was the final chapter of just the mistreatment. He ain't going to win every match going forward. He's not going to suddenly wear gold. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. But the overall perception of LA Knight, they're now going to let it happen organically. That's the most important thing. WWE allows LA Knight to develop organically. Through his work, through the fans, he'll do just fine. And when he came out yesterday, I was saying to myself, yeah, this is what you get when you piss off the fans too much and you're piping in shit and you're giving this perception that he doesn't matter, so why should the fans matter? It's what I said on Wednesday Night Dynamite. And by the way, I got to apologize to everyone for the audio quality of this week's Wednesday Night Dynamite. I was not at home. I was actually at the beach house, and I don't have my audio settings configured there. So I listened to it back, and I didn't like, you know, some of the breathing and stuff. It didn't sound like I was in heat or anything like that, but if the audio sounded different Wednesday, that's why. But it's like I said on Wednesday, when CM Punk got announced, when Tony Khan made the official announcement that CM Punk was returning at Collision, crowd was very mixed. A lot of booze. And I'm looking online, and I see tons of people. I never seen a reaction like that for him. He's a baby face, and they're not happy. You know, how could that be? How could that be? For a year, the elite, a lot of people in the media, for a year, they have pushed this narrative that CM Punk is bad for AEW. And the elite are absolutely most important elements of AEW. And then you see the elite with all of their videos and the stuff they do on YouTube and all the decisions. And you have news reporters that, you know, they care about this and they care about that. And CM Punk, oh, he wants a steal and he doesn't want to do this. And he's holding out for this. For a year, they portrayed CM Punk as a cancer to AEW. So the fans are reacting to what you fucking built for a year. And the fans with LA Knight, when he first came out yesterday, you know, it felt like, okay, this is the result of, if you're going to treat him like shit, if you're going to make us feel like LA Knight doesn't matter, then why should we feel otherwise? But we didn't get those piped in boos. He got in the ring, got a little animated, crowd started getting into it. Then the match started, and the crowd was booing the shit out of Montez Ford. They don't dislike Montez Ford. It's almost like what happened with Io Sky and Bianca Belair in Puerto Rico. And it's not, you know, the people are sick of Montez, Bianca, the couple. Please don't even go there with skin color. It's fucking ridiculous. Jade Cargill loses a title, Bianca Belair loses a title, and suddenly, you know, the wrestling world is racist. I see that, and I want to just literally just break glass over my head. And just, ugh. But Montez Ford, it's nothing personal. They just want LA Knight to get a little bit more acknowledgement. Io Sky, they wanted to give her, as people say, her flowers. Bianca Belair is in the top two or three of WWE. She is a top star, a role model. Everybody appreciates her, loves her, acknowledges her. And sometimes when they feel that other people are being slighted to her benefit, that's where people get turned off. Nothing wrong with Bianca Belair getting pushed, and as long as other people are getting pushed as well. When you see someone specifically being held down, you imagine the social media world now when Christian was feuding with John Cena back in the day? You remember that? There was a point where Christian actually had more momentum than John Cena on TV. And you literally, I can't explain it here. We would have to revisit, you know, the weeks that happened. But we literally felt, it really felt like WWE said, okay, guys, we're going to do a magic trick. This is Christian's push. Watch what we do. And you pull the tablecloth out from under him. And just like that, they reversed it. And it was just so fucked up. I mean, there was a time that Christian actually, people were just, and WWE put a stop to that almost immediately. In a lesser sense, you know, Braun Strowman with Roman Reigns, you know, Braun Strowman was getting cheered and Roman Reigns was starting to get booed. And, you know, people didn't care if Roman Reigns got pushed as long as Braun was getting pushed also. But when they saw the mistreatment towards Braun to help Roman, just like the mistreatment towards Christian to help Cena, just like the mistreatment to others for Bianca, that's where you start turning. That's where you start turning. So, you know, yesterday the fans spoke out. All right, you know, we appreciate Montez Ford. Street Profits, you know, he's going to be a major star. But, you know, stop squashing LA Knight. So yesterday, LA Knight was the babyface and Montez Ford was the heel. Crowd, when they did the, you know how they, in the center ring, they exchanged the punches or the chops. Boo, yay, boo, yay, boo. They were giving the yays to LA Knight and the boos to Montez Ford. And LA Knight got the win. So yesterday, it felt like the purge. Again, it's not going to be a perfect purge, but yesterday it felt like the purge. That WWE was like, okay, no more playing games with LA Knight. Just let him develop organically. Yeah, Braun could have been a top guy if he beat Brock at No Mercy 17. You know, maybe it was too much too soon. I don't know. But so LA Knight wins and he advances. So good for him. So that pretty much was your SmackDown matches from yesterday. Couple other things that I wanted to get into. Again, next week, these are the Money in the Bank qualifying matches that will take place on SmackDown. Shotzi versus Io Sky, Meechan versus Bayley, Santos Escobar versus Mustafa Ali, and Butch versus Baron Corbin. This Monday on Raw, we got Natalya. Yeah, if you didn't like her match at Night of Champions, hopefully she's not still celebrating her birthday. She's going to take on Zoe Stark, and then we're going to have Becky Lynch taking on Sonya Deville. So, I got to say something. I don't know if people are going to get mad, but I have to, because of the controversy with Bud Light and Target and this Dylan Mulvaney and kids and the transgender controversy with surgeries and stuff. I know I'm going a little over the top, but it just goes to show you how fucked up our country has become. And I'm not saying for or against. It's not about transgender. It's about the way people are pushing things. Pro, anti, whatever it is. I'll tell you why. I heard recently some states, this has to do with wrestling. I saw recently some states that they want to ban like gender surgeries or something for, you know, children or minors or this and that or whatever it is. And personally, you know, my view on it is be whatever you want to be. Sometimes, though, when you're a kid and you're experimenting, you know, you haven't fully developed yet. You're just learning something. You're experimenting. You're just becoming an adolescent. So to turn around, you know, like when you're young, when I was young, I wanted to be, you know, a doctor. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. And as I got a little bit older, I decided I wanted to be something else. You know, when I was very, very young, I thought girls were icky. Icky, you know, and then as I got, you know, into like 12, 13 years old, now I was like, yeah, hey, how you doing? Let's go ride my big wheel. So, you know, you're not fully developed, you know, this. So to make decisions for somebody that young to me is, you know, questionable. Okay. This leads to Corey Graves and Carmella. I don't know if you thought about it, but I have to admit it crossed my mind, and I tell it like it is. Corey Graves and Carmella are going to have a boy. And they went on Tamron Hall, or at least Carmella went on Tamron Hall, and revealed on the Tamron Hall show that they're expecting a boy. Carmella says, and I quote, "We both wanted a boy. I feel so lucky. Either way, because I have a stepson, two stepdaughters, so either way, I could do the girly things with them and the boy things with them, but we both wanted a boy." And that's awesome. That is awesome for them. And then I think about the world today. I say to myself, oh, I can't wait 10 years from now. What happens if Corey now wants to be Rory? Wait, Rory is, guys, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Like, how fucked up is this world now when parents that say, I always wanted a boy, I always wanted a girl, you don't tell me that there's some whack job group out there that's going to turn around and not find a problem with that? I don't know, man. I heard that and I'm saying to myself, yeah, what you want and what the kid wants might be two totally different things. Am I wrong? Seriously, that's how fucked up this country, this world has become. Again, you want to be what you want to be, that's fine with me. You're old enough, you make the decision, do what you want, I'm cool with it. I have no problems with it at all. But now, when you think of simple things like that, that is going to be turned into controversial. Speaking of controversial, okay, I got to ask you all this. This band member, I don't remember the name of the band, maybe somebody in the chat room could post it. This band member performed Wild Thing at AEW's Double or Nothing. And the fucking moron wears blackface. I had people say to me, oh, well, it's only half a mask. This motherfucker put on blackface. All right? Not one person in a media scrum asked Tony Khan to comment about that. And I respect journalists. I appreciate what they do. But when you turn around and you jerk that motherfucker off because you're afraid you will never be welcomed at a place ever again, you're disingenuous selective outrage. Spare me with your outrage where this motherfucker goes on. But he got super kicked. He got super kicked. You know what I would have done? You know what I would have done if I was that guy? And nobody said this. I Google and do search terms on Twitter to see if anybody, he came up with it before I did. Why didn't he simply just spray himself with camouflage? Why did he simply not spray dark green colors? If he would have sprayed his neck, his head, his neck, his back, his pussy, and his crack, if he would have sprayed his body skin with camo colors, it would have been just fine. It looks like, what was he trying to do? Look like a racing helmet? I looked at that, I'm like, what's the purpose of this? Why didn't you just spray camo? Camo is dark green. And it, in a dark light, it still would have looked dark. I don't want to say black, but it would have looked almost black. And if anybody would have said, oh my God, this guy's in blackface. No, he's actually wearing camo. It's just the dark lighting. Oh, okay. I get it. I want to know why nobody in that media room brought that up. Oh, I know why. But how come nobody's bringing it up? Just wanted to tell you that. By the way, I had to show you this too. We were having fun with this the other day with Eddie Kingston in the video game. And I brought this up on Wednesday, and I got to say it again here now. When I saw that, I literally went on Google and I did a search term on Google for fat, bald, 50-year-old men living in basements. And I wanted to find somebody with a fat, bald head with a goatee and say, like, where did they get this from? Like, it looks like a creepy, fat, 50-year-old single, you know, living in his mom's basement. You know, it's just like, I don't know. But luckily, video came out. And apparently, you know, it was bad lighting. And they got the right camera shot to make it look like some creepy, I don't want to use the P word, but, you know, and Eddie Kingston is not any of that. Let's make that clear. You know, he's got a little bit of, you know, chunkiness to him, but, you know, he's a good guy. But I got video and I took this screenshot. All right, that looks a lot fucking better. That looks a lot better. Now he looks like, you know, Eddie Kingston. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. There is a picture floating around right now of Jay Cargill in the game. And they have it side by side with WWE 2K23's creator wrestler. I got to show that to you next week. That is mind-boggling to see how it is. Let me tell you something. The gameplay, though, listen, you remember when Grand Theft Auto first came out? I know it's been 20 years, and we talked about it the other day. When Grand Theft Auto came out, even now, you know, the graphics are not picture perfect. You're driving around neighborhoods. It's a cartoon. But me, when I got Grand Theft Auto, I didn't care so much about, you know, kind of the blocky graphics about it. I just wanted to drive around and kill people and have the cops chase me and run over cops. That's all I did with Grand Theft Auto. I wanted to play the music. You put on, you know, like that song I Ran, because I always remember the original commercial. Remember the original Grand Theft Auto commercial with that song I Ran? That's all I would do is drive around the neighborhood, change the songs, listen to some house music, and run people over. And I would do that for hours. This AEW video game kind of feels the same way for me. It's like, I don't care about challenge modes. I don't care. I just want to beat the fuck out of each other. I want to do a four-way match, and I want to face QT Marshall, QT Marshall, and QT Marshall. I don't know if you saw this, but here's a screen. Here's a shot from the gameplay that you could actually break up a pin by throwing a bomb.
Dude!
Look, watch this. And they all no-sold it. Typical AEW. They all no-sold it. You could throw a bomb to break up a pin. That's like Grand Theft Auto shit for me. I have no problems with it. You know what the only problem I has with the game? Sorry about the poor English. I just said, do you know what I has problem with the game? Do you know what I have a problem with the game? My biggest problem? And I'm not kidding. I wrote this on Twitter yesterday. Look around ringside. Look around ringside. All right, we can fuck the audio. Look around ringside. What do you see wrong with it? Where are all the neckbeards? Where are the neckbeards? Nobody has fucking neckbeard. Nobody looks like they smell. No neckbeards at ringside. You're not authentic, AEW. Shame on you. Shame on me for not acknowledging Antoine Fair. Antoine Fair is everywhere. What was that cartoon? What was that cartoon? There used to be a cartoon that say, Savoir Fair is everywhere. I don't remember. I don't know. Saturday morning. This time 40 years ago, I'd be home watching WWF and cartoons. I think the Money in the Bank match is Roman Reigns versus Jimmy. And Jay is going to turn on Jimmy. It would be the way to go and have the full breakup after SummerSlam. You know why I don't like that? If you have Jey Uso turn on Jimmy, I'm looking at the chat. Nobody knows the cartoon yet, but everybody does agree, though. No neckbeards. None. Nobody looks like, you know. Anyway, Antoine, the reason why I don't like that is because the money is Jimmy and Jay teaming up. Jimmy Uso as a singles guy gives me the same vibes when Brother Devon went to SmackDown and Bubba Ray stood on Raw. If you have Jay turn on Jimmy, then what happens? Jimmy feuds with Jay leading into the end of 2023? I don't like that. That tag team division on SmackDown, the OC are fine. You know, the Brawling Brutes are fine. Pretty Deadly I enjoy, but it's missing that star quality. Kofi Kingston is still injured. Big E is not able to return as of yet. We hope that he does. So the Usos, to have Jay turn on Jimmy, that leaves Jimmy all by himself. You know, and it's like, what do you do? You know, like, you bring in Trinity, and then, oh, Jimmy and Trinity. Like, I don't like it. I just don't like it. Yesterday, I actually did think for a minute that Jey Uso might have attacked Jimmy also. I mean, I thought all along it was going to be Solo because of what we've talked about for weeks. We've talked about the Usos versus Roman and Solo for a while. Do you remember everybody was saying Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa for the championship in SummerSlam? Anybody remember that? By the way, how many of you saw the news yesterday that Carlito was backstage at SmackDown? People were running with that. Yeah, he wasn't backstage. But I don't like that. I think the Usos need to stay a tag team. The Usos still have a lot of worth to them. Plus, the Usos can indirectly continue the storyline with Sami Zayn. I believe Sami Zayn will appear on a SmackDown episode, or the Usos could show up on a Raw episode and just to tell Sami, you were right. You're right. I think there's going to be a little bit of an apology there, a little bit of an, not alliance. Kevin Owens, it'll be interesting to see how Kevin Owens reacts to that. But remember it was like Romeo and Juliet when Sammy was kicked out of the Bloodline. Remember when Sammy bumped into Jay at like behind the scenes at Raw, and they were like in like a garage area, and they were just like, he's wearing a hoodie so nobody could see him. Like, it was almost like secret. So I think we're going to have that interaction with the Usos and Sami Zayn, and the Usos are going to tell Sammy, you were right all along. And you'll see some a little bit of an apology there. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But I just don't like Jimmy Uso on his own. I'm not thrilled to see Jey Uso on his own either. I think the Usos should stay together. But definitely, listen, I definitely could see where you're going with that. And it could happen. It absolutely could happen. I just don't know, what do you do then? Like, even if you have Jimmy and Jay feud with each other for a little while, then what? You know, are we going to have like, you know, here's a good one. It's like when Jim the Anvil Neidhart used to team up with Bret Hart. And then you had Jim the Anvil Neidhart team up with Owen Hart. God rest both their souls. You know, like, they're okay, but it was like, Anvil belongs with Bret. You know, it just didn't feel the same. Like, when you could have Solo team up with Jay, and then what does Jimmy do? Jimmy, what do you do? Oh, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have a falling out, and then Jimmy could team up with Sami. Nah. I'd rather keep them together. All right. What else we got to get into today? Oh, you know what? Since we were just talking about, video games, I want to mention something else about the AEW video game. But before I do that, I got to address something. I saw enough of it that it started to get me mad. Okay, remember this at WWE Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia? People that get triggered for no reason whatsoever or just create drama for no reason went after this and said, WWE again, look, fucking Nazi shit. Because they're using a red flag and because it is a silhouette and it looks like, you know, like something like Hitler would be on. I'm sure a lot of you have come across that outcry over the last week. And I'm here to tell you, okay, the only reason why that is the way it is because, number one, Gunther is the ring general. He is the ring general. The Austria colors are, if I'm correct, is red, white, and black. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody could check that for me right now, but I could swear the colors were red, white, and black. And if you ever pay attention to when Gunther poses, he always poses with his head sideways, looking straight, looking confident. All they did was to perceive it as a general, and he's on a flag. Gunther, general, ring general, Austria colors. You look at that and you think Nazism, I think you are the problem. You are the problem. These are the same whack jobs that, because Bianca and Jade lost their titles the same weekend, that it's sometimes it's anti-black. I mean, just let that sink in. Let that sink in. So I wanted to address that because it really started fucking angering me because WWE may stop doing these flags because of this ridiculously unnecessary outcry online. If you do a little bit of research, you understand why they did that for Gunther. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. These people out there with these crazy notions, dumb. Absolutely dumb. All right, T-Smitty 3000 with a five spot. Thank you, T-Smitty. If WWE allowed that clown to perform in blackface, the journalist wouldn't let it go. By the way, I love Bianca showing more edge last night. Yeah, you know, let's mention that too. You know, a lot of people think, since we just brought up Bianca, a lot of people think that Bianca Belair is going back a little bit to her NXT days. That's fine with me. It's just that, understand that Bianca in NXT performed in front of a live audience of 200 and an average weekly audience of 600,000. Bianca Belair, at that time, was nowhere ready to be a major player. Bianca Belair, having a little bit of edginess to her, have a little bit of an attitude is great, absolutely. But the idea of, oh, she's going back to NXT Bianca, you know, they're not going to take away her being a role model. She does so much goodwill work with WWE outside of the cameras. Bianca Belair is, you know, having a little bit of anger and edginess is fine. She's remaining a babyface. You do not turn Bianca Belair heel. You don't. It's not going to be on the level of a Cena, where they never turn Cena heel ever again. You know, I remember all those years, breaking news guys, they ain't turning Cena. You know, they just because one night it feels a little different. Oh, they're turning him back. No, I'll never forget with Alexa Bliss. Congrats again that she got pregnant. She's having a child at the end of the year, December. But I'll never forget that night. Do you remember that episode on Raw where she was in a dressing room and some producer, like, walked in and she had her hands over her chest like this and she had no shirt on? And you got to go back. If you want a good laugh, you got to go back and find the date of that Raw episode. Whatever that date is, let's just say it's May 11th, 2018. Be wild if I'm anywhere near that, but you take that date and then you go on Twitter and you do a search on Twitter and you just type in WWE Raw and that only that date, and you'll see tons and tons of people that were saying, oh, Attitude's returning. Attitude's back. It's returning. I'm still gushing. I'm still loving the TV14. Remember the breaking news last year? TV14 is back. I think we were the only people online that said it wasn't. And not because I had sources. It's because it was common sense. WWE would have to get authorization from the advertisers, from the network. You can't have all these advertisers and simply just change it to TV14 and the advertisers. That's not the way it works. That's how business goes. People don't understand. I'll give you another one. This is news, actually. Let's clear this up before it turns into a big thing. Dave Meltzer, and thank you, T. Smitty, again. I absolutely like Bianca having a little bit of anger to herself. She definitely should. You know, I mean, when she was in the doctor's or therapy room, wasn't that with Alexa Bliss? Didn't Alexa like smash like a plant over her head, and Asuka's spitting shit in her face? And there's start attacking people, you know, start getting revenge, show a little bit of anger, a little, you know, so, you know, we'll see what happens. I think Bianca does get a rematch. I think Bianca versus Asuka could very well happen at Money in the Bank. Very well could happen at Money in the Bank. She's entitled to a rematch and it's 3 weeks away. So we will see. But I want to bring this up. Dave Meltzer reported that, and this is simply let me say it like this. Let me find it here. Okay, I got it. Okay. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, and I respect Dave Meltzer a lot, but you could see clearly what is going on here. After the disaster with the CM Punk stuff, it is possible. And also that they have other journalists out there have connections behind the scenes in AEW. And those other news journalists are getting scoops and getting information that Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez are not getting. And that is troublesome for them. So now they're trying to butter up AEW by just using common sense knowledge and trying to make it a news story where there is none. I'll give you an example. What's floating around right now to bash WWE and to make AEW look more of like the struggling company trying to, you know, advance and having tough times. All right. The latest Observer talks about how some buildings, some venues do rent their venues to both WWE and AEW. The one that everybody is talking about, for a great example, there's a venue called The Shot, S-C-H-O-T-T. I don't know if that's Cincinnati. I don't know if it has anything to do with Marge Schott. I don't think it does. But it's The Shot, S-C-H-O-T-T. And what he is pushing as a news story is that WWE put clauses in their deals with buildings that AEW cannot run in the same building for a certain number of weeks before or a certain number of weeks after a WWE event occurs. He adds that AEW and the arena cannot announce the show or sell tickets until after the WWE show takes place. Okay. I could tell you right now that, number one, that is standard business when you negotiate and you're in the same line of field with other competitors. If I'm going to book an event for some type of business that I'm in, and there's a rival business that is looking to book an event in the same building, so I lower the risk of people not buying for me or not turning out for me because they bought tickets for a competitor. If you could even use it like podcasting, you know, you do shows, you try to do it at a time where a lot of people are not doing their shows. This way people don't have to choose. And then what happens? I mean, I'm just using it as a bad example, but what happens? We've had it here. I announce that I'm going to do a show at Sunday night at 6, and then within a couple of weeks, you see five people. Oh, look, I'm going to do a show at 5:30. I'm going to do it at 6:30. And he never did shows on Sundays before. Okay, I'll do a show Thursday. Or better yet, I'll do a pay-per-view review on a Tuesday with Kevin instead of doing it Saturday night or Sunday night right after it happens. And then what happens? You get rival people out there. We're going to do a review Tuesday night. I announced that I was going to do Discord. Originally, I was going to do Wednesday Night Dynamites live on Discord. No joke. Three podcasters within that week all were updating their Discords to do Dynamite recaps. So I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll record my stuff in advance because you can't interrupt or try to intercept pre-recorded stuff. People just download it and they download it. And that's fine. I'm not mad, but that's what goes on. So when WWE is going to book a building and they're trying to maximize their ticket sales, yeah, they're going to tell the building, look, you know, AEW, they can't run the show, you know, for 3 weeks after we're there, or tickets can't go on sale at the same. You know how you combat that? AEW works out a deal with the building before WWE does. No! I didn't even think of that! AEW books the building before WWE does. And let's also use some common sense here, everyone. You go to the Shot. Go to the Shot. Go to the Shot's website. Look up upcoming events. You know, this is something that I brought up many times before. You think these buildings are empty? That there's nothing going on? And then a pro wrestling company calls, yeah, we'd like to do a show in September. Oh, yeah, we got, look at that. We have every day available. These venues have events booked, concerts, conventions, whatever. Ain't that many dates open? So they make it seem like, oh, well, you know, WWE books the Shot and they book it in September. That means AEW can't go there until October, or they can't sell the tickets until July. Ain't no controversy there, everyone. That's how you do business. If AEW has a problem with that, book the fucking building before WWE does. Duh. Right? And by the way, why? What are the chances? Like I said, WWE, we're going to be in Cincinnati in October. First week in October, we're going to be in Cincinnati. God damn it. We were going to be in Cincinnati the first week in October. Oh, all right. So we're going to go to Idaho instead. Damn it. They got Idaho too. This is not a story, everyone. This is to try to make it look like back. Remember the TNA days when people were trying to finger Dixie to try to get in the good graces of the Dixie Carter? That, oh, TNA, they tried to book venues and WWE, you know, put a club. You know, it's not a story. This is just their way of trying to make it look like AEW victim, WWE bad. The Elite victim, CM Punk bad. As always, these articles, if you notice, the Miro news, the Andrade news, the CM Punk news, the WWE AEW news, there's always a common denominator with all of these fucking stories that float around. There's always two elements in it. Victim, evil. Every single one of these stories, when we talk about, hey, how come Miro's not being used? Oh, well, you know, oh, reports are going around that Miro refused to work with Hangman Page or refused to be in a battle royal. Victim? Asshole. Oh, well, Andrade, he's he went up to Sammy and blah, 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 he said, fire me. Victim? Asshole. It's always victim and catalyst. So, okay. Seth Rollins will be defending the World Heavyweight Championship on Monday against, I know I got the graphic. Where are you? There you are. Why does Damian Priest's skin always look olive? Why does it always look like fake spray tan? I don't know. Every time WWE puts Damian Priest on a billboard, I'm like, fix his skin color, man. It ain't olive. What is that? You ever noticed that? Anyway, he's getting the world championship title opportunity. I don't know. I almost feel like we're going to get a disqualification finish. Because like I said, right now, nobody is dethroning Seth Rollins of that championship. Oh, and since we have Rhea Ripley on the screen, let's finish up with Rhea Ripley and get out of here. Rhea Ripley, apparently, I don't go on TikTok, maybe I got to start, but apparently she has like the most subscribers there, like 2 million. Like she's got like an insane amount of followers on TikTok. Anyway, she posted this photo yesterday or the day before. It's her working out in the gym with her lovey, Buddy Matthews. And I'm not saying this to be a jerk, but some people out there really reveal that they don't know how relationships work. or maybe have not had experience in relationships. Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are not an item. Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are not playing tonsil hockey when they're in the hotel. When they're driving up and down the road, they ain't stopping to go in the bushes and have a little bit of fun. Rhea Ripley is dating Buddy Matthews. So they have some fun on social media. So when Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are teased as a couple, sometimes Buddy Matthews will make a little snide remark on social media. Last week, Buddy Matthews tweeted and deleted that after Night of Champions and the acclaimed Max Caster cut a rap, and he actually, when they were going to take on the House of Black, them and Billy Gunn were taking on the House of Black, he brought up Rhea Ripley and Dom Dom and called Buddy Matthews a cuck. And people thought it was funny. And then Buddy Matthews goes on Twitter and says to Rhea Ripley something like, oh, you and Dominic, you know, you finally got, you know, like exposure in two promotions or something like that. Took a shot like they're famous now because of whatever. And then he deleted it. And people actually are starting to think that Buddy Matthews is angry at Dominic Mysterio, that Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley are actually an item. My friends, Rhea Ripley is an entertainer. Buddy Matthews is an entertainer. You look at other wrestlers out there that have significant others that work for different promotions. Just because they're not working in the same promotion does not mean that there's promiscuity going on when they're not around. Buddy Matthews and Rhea Ripley's relationship is solid. And just because Buddy Matthews has a little bit of fun on social media, you know, downplaying it or taking shots at Dominic Mysterio, doesn't mean that he has a problem with Dominic Mysterio. As John Cena 2011 in the chat says, some people need to touch grass. I'll take that one step further. Some people need to touch ass. Have a relationship. These are entertainers acting like entertainers. Buddy Matthews is not jealous that Dominic and Rhea Ripley are playing, teasing a couple on TV. They ain't making out on TV. There's no, stop. You know, hey, I'll say this. The fact that some people think that Rhea Ripley and Dom Dom are really an item, WWE's probably doing their job. And Rhea Ripley and Dominic are doing their job very, very well as well. But the fact is, they are not an item. Isn't Dominic engaged to somebody else? I think Dominic Mysterio might be engaged. He might have even gotten married recently. I'm not sure. I think he might have just gotten engaged to somebody. But Buddy Matthews having some fun on social media is not jealousy. You know, and I know some people are just having some fun with it. The Acclaimed, let me tell you something. The Max Caster with that rap, he got cleared by Buddy Matthews to say it. He didn't go into business for himself and take a shot at Buddy Matthews just to, you know, try to make it look like a shoot. Buddy Matthews was aware of what Max Caster was going to say. It's just characters. Yeah, Mighty Mighty says that Dominic just got engaged to his longtime girlfriend. Yeah, Dominic's engaged. You know, Buddy Matthews and Rhea Ripley's relationship is solid. There is no issues. And for some reason, people are actually thinking that, you know, Buddy Matthews is jealous of Dominic Mysterio. And I think that's kind of wacky when you think about it. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. And I want to thank you for joining me tonight. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow, the sit-down returns. And by the way, we are going to do that from now on. The last Sunday of every month. Except if we have a pay-per-view or something major going down. But the way it stands, the last Sunday of every month, the sit-down will have a non-wrestling theme to it. We did one a couple of weeks ago and got very well received. And I put up a poll in the community section to ask you all to vote. You know, going forward, do you want once a month we do an episode that has nothing to do with wrestling? or do we keep it wrestling all day, every day, or all day, every week, or all week, every week? Whatever. You get the deal. Bottom line is, majority of you said once a month, non-wrestling. We can talk a little wrestling. I'm not going to slap anybody. We said no wrestling, damn it. Yeah, if there's something big, you know, we definitely could talk about it. So last Sunday of every month. One last thing. A lot of you have asked me if I watched the Chris Candido, Tammy Sitch, Dark Side of the Ring. I have not watched it yet. I plan on watching it tonight. I'm not a fan of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes. And I've explained why in the past. Not all of the episodes are bad, and I've watched a lot of them, but I'm not a fan. Sometimes I feel we got to talk about the good. As I said 2 weeks ago, I want to find out in advance if Johnny Candido was involved in this. I want to find out in advance that they celebrated Chris Candido and not make him look, you know, very negative. And when I say that, I'm not saying that they needed to lie. Chris Candido was good people. And I wanted to make sure that they did Chris right. And everybody who I have talked to, people in wrestling, people outside of wrestling, people who I'm very good friends with, all said the same thing. DT, you got to watch it. You'll be left in tears, but you got to watch it. So I will be watching it. I will probably watch it tonight. If not tonight, definitely tomorrow night. But yes, I plan on watching it. I will give you my overall thoughts next week about it. And, you know, it's a shame, you know, everything that's going on with Tammy. You know, you reap what you sow. And, you know, that's going to be coming to a head soon. You know, she pleaded not guilty, but they're trying to work out a plea agreement. They're trying to work out a plea. I don't know if they're going to get one, to be honest with you. The family of the victim that died in that accident does not want a plea. There's a lot of legal stuff that maybe I need to do an update next week about this, because I haven't talked about this at all. I talked to Tammy's boyfriend a couple of months ago, and he gave me some very specific information. And I will say this. You know, early on, he was threatening to fucking kill me. He actually turned out to be, you know, not that bad. You know, he's got a checkered past. There's no denying that. But, you know, he ended up, you know, what he told me ended up being true. And it was verified. So I'm kind of glad that he is not being dragged into this to this degree. It's all on Tammy this time around. And, you know, it is what it is. But maybe we'll do a little update next Saturday. I'll give you some details that have not been talked about online. So, but everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as I say always, if you enjoyed it, give it a thumbs up. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe. If you want to consider becoming a channel member, you know, we got two tiers here. One is like 50 cents a week. You get some free stuff and contests and other things. And, you know, we're going to start putting up more ad-free audio on the channel member side of things. And again, as of right now, for the foreseeable future, I'm not going subscription-based here. So I know there was some concern over I came this close of doing that because we got to get some additional revenue in here somehow. But hey, just keep banging it. Keep keeping you happy. Try to ignore all the bullshit out there. Have some fun. And I think that's the recipe for success. Not forcing you to, you know, pay anything. But, you know, a couple extra commercials can't hurt anybody. So, guys, let me know what you think. Post a comment in the comment section. I will be back Sunday for the sit-down. And you all enjoy the rest of your weekend. Be well. And I am officially out of here. Take care, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.